Welcome to Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to ask you to please fill out the little visitor card you'll find in front of you. Place an offering plate so they come around so we can have a regular visit. We would greatly appreciate that. If you're joining us online this morning, we want to welcome you as well and ask you to consider being a part of what God is doing at Robertson Avenue, experiencing God right here in the sanctuary. Come on out of the house, off the couch, get in the pews, and find out what God is doing. You can be a part of that. Speaking of that, let me share with you a little bit about what's happening at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Well, as you know, yesterday we had a mission interest meeting over in the admin office yesterday. So we had a neat time with that, a decent turnout in that. So we'll have a few folks going to our trip to Michigan. If you are interested in that, you need to get with me as soon as possible because the time frame, the door is closing on that. So if you want to go, you need to go ahead and indicate that interest too. There is a cost to go. We're going to be flying. Most of us are going to be flying there. And so there's some time frame to get involved in that. However, you do need to get with me quickly on that. All right. So, church, let me remind you a little bit about what's happening in RABC. Of course, our ladies' Bible study will pick back up April 16th. And so we're going to have a little bit of a hiatus, a little bit of a rest time frame after the resurrection holidays. And so they'll be back inside of their ladies' Bible study, studying the book of Philippians on April 16th. However, men's Bible study is still meeting Thursdays at 6:30, and they'll continue to do so, probably right up to the rapture, amen? So, in fact, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were having a Bible study during the rapture, praise God. So, with that being said, I want to remind you guys that on top of that, we have our end of the month. We have a yard sale coming up, our rum sale, Operation Christmas Child rum sale. Those benefits and proceeds will go to help our Operation Christmas Child shipping fund, so please be a part of that. You can get more details by speaking to Sister Esther Bailey about that. I understand spots are filling up quickly, so you need to get with her soon and reserve your slot today. I believe those prices are $20 a slot. Is that right, Sister Esther? So, and I understand they are filling up quickly, so come and be a part of that. I want to thank each and every one of you that helped me celebrate my birthday Wednesday night. God bless you in that. You blessed me and my family, and you blessed my heart in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. It was nice to see how much you love me and nice to experience that love. God bless you in it, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you in it. Some people ask me, Pastor, how old are you? 49. I look good, too, don't I? 49. I'm getting there. Woo! Some people are about to put thunderbolts over the sound system and things like that. So, but anyway, thank you for loving me, supporting me, and wishing me a happy birthday. All right, let me share with you a little bit about what else is coming up. Of course, we will have our Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 on Wednesday night. Please come and get involved in our choir practice today at 4:30. And also, upcoming up to the next week or two, we'll be having men's breakfast. We'll be having our administrative team meeting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Come and be a part of those things. I also want to invite you to something special coming up on the 21st. 21st of April, Sunday evening, we'll be hosting our associational annual here at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Come and be a part of that. We'll have several of our sister churches here with us, worshiping with us, and being a part in the sanctuary with Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Come be a part of that. Rub elbows with some folks that you've never met before and get to know them and understand we are on the same mission, serving the same God, preaching the exact same gospel. Amen. And we serve a risen Savior, and their hearts are just as full of joy as yours is. So come and be a part of that. That's going to be April 21st. So there'll be a meal at 4:30, and then, of course, we'll have the business session around 5:30, and worship will start at 6 and be over about 7 o'clock. So come and be a part of that April 21st, the Association Annual, right here at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Last but not least, we have, as you know, the body has voted to go ahead and build a fence outside the courtyard over on that side over there. As that fence construction gets built, we are asking if there be anyone who would be willing to help donate toward that fence cost. So all you've got to do is place on your check or your offering, put an envelope, put fence on it, and that will help us pay for that. Thank you so much for your precious experience being a part of that. And God bless you and your love and your peace for wanting to protect our children that's in there. All right. So I think that's it for our announcements, unless there's something I have forgotten. All right. In that case, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And after we pray, we'll please rise and welcome one another. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house for this morning. Would you bless us and fill us with your Holy Spirit as we worship you. I pray Lord God, that not only would you send your Holy Spirit to us, Lord God, but today would be the day, Father God, you speak to us. If there be anyone who needs to come to know you as personal Lord Savior, would let now be the time. Let today be the day, Lord God, that they surrender to you. I'm trusting you, Lord God, and believing that your word will not come back void. So I'm asking you, Father, to be glorified and magnified this. And so, Father God, as we worship you this morning, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your joy. And may we, Lord God, celebrate you in our hearts. We thank you for being a risen Savior, and we thank you that we could be here this morning to worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise and welcome one another. Return to your seats so we can go on with our worship service. I have another short announcement I want to share with you. Oh, it's so good to see each and every one of you. And like I said before, I'm so grateful for your birthday celebration. But you know, I got one more birthday present this morning I've got to share with you. And so, some of you may know I have a weakness for Twinkies. And so, somebody brought me a Hostess Twinkies Iced Latte. God bless you. Thank you so very much. And thank you for loving me in that. Brother Mark, would you take us to the Lord in worship?
disclaimer. We're going to sing this song too very soon. And it's about Jesus is coming. I don't think it's going to be tomorrow, but I know it is going to happen. Okay, let's sing about it. Everybody stand and we'll sing very, very soon. And you can clap.
We are going to be Buckman wife and kids, he said, I'm home. Enduring more today than he had ever done before. And now his confidence was gone. See, a Roman soldier's might was based on his will. He could not imagine any other way. So defeated by a sense of longing he could feel, he said, today I just had to give away. And he said, I will change his. And he gave his testimony how he was changed there in a moment on some long Damascus road. I rejected what he offered, said I'll never serve another. I'll just get another soldier, so I can go on home longer. Rose and he left to face his duty once again. Chained himself there to that preacher man. Sat down and he wondered if this day would ever end. Make it through was his only plan. Gentle voice described the saving blood upon the cross. How an empty grave to him hold. Jackals would remind him of the promise in the car, and what he couldn't wait to tell when he got home. But he said, I was chained to a prisoner, and he gave a testimony how he was chained there in a moment on some long road. But this time I felt the wonder in his eyes. I saw the Savior, so I cried out to the Master, and now my sins are gone, no longer shame. We don't know the number Paul and reach. Yeah, we hear their stories over there. But imagine all the soldiers that had ever heard him preach, what they might have said when they got home from work. They said, I will change. And he gave. He was changed there in a moment on some long Damascus road. But this time I felt the wonder in his eyes. I saw the Savior, so I cried out to the Master, and now my sins are gone.
Good morning. I can't tell you how nice it is to see each and every one of you. It's beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me please to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And as our children leave out, it sure does leave an empty spot in our sanctuary, doesn't it? It always has and always will. Thank God. for each and every one of them. Some of you might say, well, children are important in church. Let me tell you, they are the most important thing in church. Thank God we have them. My goodness, my computer loads up. I want to share with you a little bit about what's happening in Copper Cove. As you know, Copper Cove has really pushed hard this eclipse that is coming in tomorrow. And there are many, many churches that were expecting tons and tons and tons of visitors. If you're here visiting with us because of that eclipse, we want to welcome you. We want to ask you to consider being a part of what God does at Robinson Avenue. If you go back out of town, back to where you're from, if you haven't been to church in years, go back to church. Be a part of what God is doing in your hometown. Be a part of what God is doing inside of Texas. Let me tell you, God is working in Texas. He is moving in hearts of His people. In fact, I believe with all of my heart that God is calling His church, His people, His bride, back to a holy walk, back to a pure walk, back to a walk that glorifies and magnifies Him. That's where we need to be this morning. Well, so not only really did up a nice show, if you will, for our eclipse coming in. They set up the city park. They brought in jump houses, bounce houses, and vendors, and things like that. It reminded me a lot of my childhood. My childhood wasn't here in the United States. Even Germany was something to know. While in Germany, we had a fair come in. We spot in Germany. Actually, I think I was in Eisenhower at that time. And they brought a fair in. And the neatest thing they brought in, they brought a brown bear inside of that fair. And that brown bear had been so caged up and so cooped up that it had become pretty much tame. And so the people would walk by just in a fence, and you could stick your hand through it. The bear was just as gentle and tame as you could be and pet that bear. Well, people started throwing wrappers and packages and soda cans at that bear. I know it's terrible, isn't it? And I remember that. And I remember while being there that someone had taken a little gasoline and put it inside a soda bottle. Put it down in front of that bear. And the reason why they did this is because that bear, if you threw a soda can in there, that bear would pick it up and try to drink that soda. They thought it was funny. But they put a little gasoline in there, and that bear just drank that gasoline. And of course, that bear got angry, and he busted through that fence right in the middle of Germany, right in the middle of Eisenhower. He started running down the street, and let me tell you, there were German people running everywhere, U.S. soldiers running everywhere, and my family was running and running and running and running. And all of a sudden, that bear just killed right over. Fell down right in the middle of the street. I know what you're thinking. Well, he drank the gasoline and killed him. You're wrong. He ran out of gas. I'm sorry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all were hanging on every word. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Amen. Let me tell you something about God. He has told us in His Word that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And you might be sitting there this morning saying, Pastor, my heart's broken. Pastor, my body's broken. Pastor, my will's been broken. I've been to bad churches. I've been to bad preachers. I've been to mean deacons and mean church members. I want you to know that God has a special plan for you. And that plan is healing. That plan is forgiving. And that plan is going on inside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time for us to get back into His Word, trusting His Word, walking on His Word, and relying on His Word. Because I want to tell you something about the Word of God. It is 100% accurate. It is 100% trustworthy. It will not fail. Even though this world falls apart around us, God's Word is still going to be there. Somebody say amen this morning. In fact, His Word is inspired, 100% inspired. It is 100% infallible, and it is 100%, listen to me now, 100% written by God. Inspired, infallible, and is God breathed. As we look into our message this morning, Mark chapter 9, I want to remind you of the title of it. I know I'm going to blow through it kind of quick this morning. And the reason why is we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, so prepare your hearts for that. If you've been sitting there saying, Pastor, I need to get right with God, then I want to invite you, during my invitation, come and repent. Come and get right with Jesus Christ. Make sure you do that before you partake of the Lord's Supper. Because if we believe the Word of God, then we believe what the Word of God tells us about those who take that without being ready. So repent and be a part of that. There'll be no judgment here. There'll be love here. There'll be forgiveness here. There'll be acceptance here. And there will be a call to come back to Jesus Christ. Well, the title of this morning's message is, If You Can Do Anything. Look with me in Mark chapter 9. We have a few verses to read, so let's read those together. Starting in verse 14, and I love to hear those pages turn. I do. I love to hear those pages turn. I know it's 2024, and I got to listen real hard to hear those Bibles turn on, but I like that too. Amen. Mark 19, look at me in verse 14. The Bible says, Mark 9, verse 14, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he is throwing his bolts into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, I'll say it's impossible to him to believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. Enter him no more. When the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, he came out of him. And he became one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let's go to the Lord and pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is 100% inspired and infallible. Thank you, Lord God, that we can trust your word. I pray right now, Lord, that as we look at your word would have its way in our hearts and our lives. And if there be anybody that needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior, or anybody that needs to get their heart right with you, that today would be that day, Father. I'm asking, Lord God, that each and every heart would surrender to you, and I'm praying, Father God, each and every will be broken to you, and I pray, Lord God, that broken hearts would be healed, and broken wills, Lord, would be back in yours. It's in Jesus' great and mighty name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the theme first this morning. I love a good exorcist story, don't you? What you're looking at, new, a calf goes a brand new gate. Did you say that word in a Baptist church? I sure did. Let me tell you something. The Bible talks about demons. We believe in demons. Amen. You know what? There's a demon spirit possessing our public school system today. There's a demon spirit possessing our children today. And we've stood by and let it happen. We've got confused children. We've got boys who think they're girls. We've got girls who think they're boys. We've got kids who think they're cats nowadays. That is a demon spirit. And we need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And then you might be saying, well, Pastor, they just don't listen to it. Hello. Did you not read that in the scripture here? Jesus actually called out to it. You deaf and dumb spirit. You don't listen and you're not talking. And that's what we're going to pick up this morning as we take a look at the demon first. The Bible says this man comes. Now, I love this guy. This guy right here. We don't know his name. We don't even know the boy's name. He comes bringing his son to Jesus. Have you ever felt like this guy? I may be talking to the choir this morning, which got to sit back down. But have you ever felt like this guy before? You want to get to Jesus. All you want to do is get your son to Jesus. And when you get there, Jesus ain't there. You ever felt like that before? Perhaps I'm talking to you online this morning, and you felt like, hey, Pastor, I just want to go to church. Well, all you do is talk about Jesus. Well, amen. That's what church is supposed to do. Somebody say amen. We're supposed to be bragging on Jesus. We're supposed to be talking about him. We're supposed to be loving him, praising him, worshiping him, lifting him up on high. And if we will start doing that, the world will kick in the door to come see us glorify Jesus. You want to know something? now. I know I'm getting off topic, but if you want to know something, if we will get back to praising God, if we will get back to giving God the glory, if we will get back into God's Word, if we get back to doing God's will, the world will see God work at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church, and they will want to be involved with what God is doing. See, they don't care about what a church is doing. They care about what God is doing. And if we will do God's will, the world will come. Once the church will grow, get back into what God is doing. The world don't care about programs. They got better programs we can ever think of. But we've got the greatest. We've got God. If we will go back to what God is doing, we're going to find out that the world is going to be drawn to Him. Now let's look back at that demon, though. That demon's an interesting spirit. We don't even know the demon's name. The Bible tells us as Jesus began looking into this dialogue here with His Father and Jesus about His Son, this man tells Jesus, "This spirit throws my boy in the fire and in the water." It throws him in there. It happened since he was a child, and it's been going on since. I just don't know when, and I'm just at my wit's end. I just put myself in this man's shoes for a second. Now, I've got four sons, and so I want to talk about my sons for just a second. Now, the good news is that none of my sons have decided to throw themselves in a fire pit. Amen. Not a one of them in danger of drowning. They all swim like a fish. One of them joined the United States Navy, and you know what was funny to me? When he got out of basic training, he was like, "Dad, we had to teach people how to swim in the Navy." I don't know about y'all, but that was scary to me. It was. And another one joined the United States Marine Corps, and he said, "Dad, I don't have to teach him how to swim. I got to teach him how to drive a car and not to eat crayons." That's what he said. Praise God. But my other two boys swim just as well. And both of them love being a part of that. We're in competition swimming and things of that nature. However, my point is this. This boy is being thrown into water and into fire by this demon spirit. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's look at the first part there. This spirit wants to throw him into the fire to burn him up. And we're talking about a spirit that is deaf and that it's dumb. It doesn't talk. It doesn't speak. It doesn't necessarily reveal itself, but it is most certainly there. It is most certainly there, and it likes to burn people up. In fact, you might have that spirit in your house right now. You might have that spirit in your family, in your children right now. The spirit that wants to burn people up, you might have it in your life and in your walk right now. You ever been there before, and all it ever wants to do is get you into a position where you're about to get burned up? You say, "Pastor, explain." I'll be happy to do so. If you, like me, suffer from this particular problem, then you know what I'm talking about. You say, "Pastor, what do you suffer from?" The foot in the mouth disease. Somebody say amen. The foot in the mouth disease will get you burned up. Somebody say amen. It'll burn you up quicker than anything in the world. And so sometimes you say things before you think things through. I wish that God would give us a football helmet to have one of those little microphones in, and the Holy Spirit would say, "Call an audible." Don't say that, Josh. Don't say that. Time out, Pastor. Don't say that. Let me tell you, that spirit will burn you up, and it's looking for any opportunity to throw you into fire. Dad, do you oftentimes put your children in positions where they get burned up, and all you do is ridicule them? All you do is talk bad about them? Do you talk bad about your wife? Do you talk bad about your mom, your brother, your sister? Then what you're doing is burning them up. Somebody say amen. Do you have that kind of spirit in your heart? Well, this dad did. This dad had that kind of spirit. All he wanted to do was burn that boy up. He wanted to burn him up and everything he did. Now, there's no doubt when you read through the New Testament that this spirit wanted to throw this boy in the fire to burn him up to death. But I want you to know nowadays we got the same kind of spirit. And that spirit says, "I want to burn you up and I want to drown you. I want to burn you up with everything you do. When I burn you up, that means you're going to shut your mouth because I'm a deaf and dumb spirit anyway. And I wanted you to be quiet because all you're going to do is get burned every time you speak." Do you know that kind of spirit? The Bible also says the spirit wants to throw him in the water to drown him. Now, when I read through my Greek New Testament, I don't like to think of it as a big sea or an ocean or a lake or a pond or a river. I like to think of it as, you know, a good 3 or 4 inch mud puddle. You know, throw that boy down and go into convulsions with his nose in the water, down in his nose and mouth down in the water. He can't breathe and would drown in something impossible to drown. You know what that means? It likes to overwhelm. So, you have that spirit in you? That spirit in your family? That spirit in your marriage right now has been overwhelming you? Perhaps you're online and you've been looking for the answer to that problem. I want you to know, listen to me now, this comes from my heart. The answer is not a counselor. The answer is not some sort of psychologist. The answer is Jesus Christ. He's the one who can heal. He's the one who can save. He's the one who fixes. He's the one who casts out demons. And he can keep that one from throwing you in the water. Now let's look back at that water for a second, though. That water is an overwhelming feeling. You ever feel a little overwhelmed by life? You ever feel like it's just all around you and you just can't get enough air and you're just sinking down further and further? And the harder you kick and the harder you paddle, the more you sink. And perhaps you're in that same situation this little boy was. Now, Jesus called that spirit deaf and dumb. Deaf. You know what deaf means? Deaf means they can't hear. You know, sometimes we call people deaf. You know, I've been married 24 years. Actually, 26 years. I know everybody looked at me now, not Betsy. 26 years coming up in June. And there's times my wife has said, "Boy, you are deaf." I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Yes, you are. I've told you 8 times and you did not listen. I heard everything you said." I don't know what it is. There's something about men. We just get this little plastic piece put over our ears that says, "Doesn't listen." It's a shield. It's a shield. See, that's where I really need that football helmet that says, "Call an audible, God." You know, we can get spirits sometimes in our lives, and we just don't listen to what anybody says. We don't listen to what anybody points out to us. We don't listen to what our children say. You know, children are worse at it. They don't listen to what mom and dad say. They do. I'm not talking to the choir because they're already sitting back now. My point is this. Sometimes we get a spirit about us that says, "I don't want to listen to what you've got to say." This boy had a deaf and a dumb spirit, and this spirit said, "I don't care who's talking. I don't care what authority has. I don't care what's going to happen to me. I'm going to do it my way, and nothing else matters." Am I talking to you this morning? Perhaps you're that wife. You say, "All I want to do is make my husband miserable." You got that deaf spirit about you? He's begging and pleading, "Don't do it. Why are you breaking my heart?" Perhaps you're that husband, and you don't listen to anything she says. She's just sitting right next to you, talking her heart out. And finally, you turn around like, "What'd you say?" Well, what's funny is most of us guys are saying, "Amen." Wrong. You ever read the New Testament, especially in Gospel of Luke? Do you remember when Zacharias gets told he's going to have a son? Little John the Baptist is going to be born to him. It's not Elizabeth that's made mute, but Zacharias. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That man needs to shut up for a little while. So here's the point. Maybe you have a deaf spirit about you. But that spirit says, "I ain't listening to what anybody says. I ain't listening to what God says. I ain't listening to what the Word says. I ain't listening to what the church says. And yet I want to find help." Now I love that dad, though. That dad has recognized there's something in his son. Now, no doubt, in the New Testament, he's talking about a physical, actual, 100% demon. And if the Bible talks about demons, we believe in demons. They're still out there. They most certainly are. They are still moving and grooving in a world that does not believe in God. And don't be afraid. If you're a Christian, you can't be touched by a demon. Now, how do I know that? Because they can't go where the Holy Spirit is. If you've got the Holy Spirit, then the demon can't get there. So where do they go? The government. Where do they go? They go where the most vulnerable people are. Now think about it. Where's our most vulnerable people? Children. Somebody say amen. And that's where they go. They go to our children. And that's why they're in the school district saying, "You can be a boy if you want to be a little girl. You can be a girl if you want to be a little boy. You can be a kitty cat. You can be a dog. You can be a unicorn or a rhinoceros." That's a deaf and dumb spirit, right? Let's put a little emphasis on the dumb spirit. Like, that means amen and a bad spirit. But deaf spirits, they don't listen. They don't listen to reason. They don't listen to truth. They don't listen to logic. This deaf spirit would not listen to reason. You know what's funny here? He may throw that boy in the fire and burn that boy up, but at the same time, he was going to destroy his own house. Do you know somebody like that? They're willing to burn the house down that they live in to get even with somebody who's standing in the hallway. Do you know that person? And you say, "Pastor, you're talking to me this morning. I'm willing to burn my marriage up to get even with my wife." You need me to call you a deaf and dumb spirit? Oh, man. I am not talking to the choir. You've been looking for that church. You say, I can't be in another church anymore, Pastor. Those preachers, they're too mean. They're too contradictory. They're too self-righteous. Don't be a deaf and dumb spirit. Don't do it. My point is this. When we start listening to what God says, we're going to find out that God has the right path for us. Did you notice that man brought that boy to Jesus? And you know, I may be talking to you this morning, and you're trying to bring your son, your family, your marriage, your work, whatever it is you're having a problem with, to Jesus. And you get there, and you're like, hey, Jesus ain't around. I'm talking to his disciples. And those disciples, they couldn't do it. We'll come back to that in a minute. You know the end of the story? This one comes out only by prayer and fasting. Does that mean that the disciples didn't pray? Wrong. They prayed. They prayed more than we do. They were living with the Word of God, literally. They prayed more than we did. They fasted more than we did. This one comes out by prayer and fasting. So what is Jesus talking about? May I twist your arm today? Prayer and fasting is a picture of obedience. Reverence. Did you know that? Obedience, reverence. This one comes out when you are obedient and reverent to God. When you start living reverence, Dad, you're going to find that demon getting kicked out of your house. When you start being obedient to God, Dad, you're going to find that demon kicked out of your marriage. When you start treating God the way he's supposed to be treated as number one in your life, in your family, in your home, then those demons are going to start getting kicked out. Somebody say amen this morning. Are you missing something in your life? Deaf and it's a dumb spirit. Deaf spirits don't listen. Dumb spirits are too stupid. You say, man, that's going to cut my nose off and bite my face. So let's look at the dad second. I'm running out of time. I'm about to be on that deaf, dumb spirit the rest of the day. Let's look at the dad second. He comes to see Jesus, but Jesus isn't there. Does that describe the way you feel about life? We got a saying in the Morrison household. If something bad happens, I ask my boys, I say, what's your name? They say, Morrison. I said, what does that mean? They said, if it's going to happen to somebody, it's going to happen to me. That's Morrison. You know, if you're Jewish, we got words for that. A shlemiel and a shlemazel. You ever watch Laverne and Shirley? Shlemiel, shlemazel. What is a shlemiel? Shlemiel is the person who can enter any room and knock over the only glass of water that's there. A shlemazel is the person the water spills on no matter what. It can be across the room and the water will magically bounce and hit them on the head. Shlemazel. Cursed. So we had that joke in our family about you're a Morrison, you're a Shlemiel and a Shlemazel altogether. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. I think it was amazing. My eldest brother, he's not with us anymore. He's actually with Jesus right now. But my second eldest brother, he told me one day, he said, Joshua, I was driving home in the middle of 9 or 10 people in a line going down I-35. We were all doing about 75 miles an hour. This was before the speed limit was up to 75. There was only 70 at the time. Well, I was doing about 75. I was in the middle of them. A DPS officer pulls out and chooses me out of all of them. I said, what's your name, son? He said, Morrison. I said, then pay the ticket. Left. Maybe you feel like that dad. And he said, all I'm going to do is get my family to Jesus. Every time I try, I'm running into some disciples. I want to get to Jesus. Now, you remember the rest of the story. I love the rest of the story. Jesus actually comes down off that mountain. You want to know the background? He is coming back from the Mount of Transfiguration. He has just let Peter, James, and John see Moses and Elijah. He has let them see him transfigured. He let them hear God's voice saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased in. Hear ye him. You understand the polar opposite now of this deaf, dumb spirit. Well, yes. Your Bible study now. You understand the difference now? This is my point. He comes back down. Jesus says, why are you arguing with my disciples? Why are you talking to them? The Pharisees were there as well. And I'll tell you what those Pharisees were doing. Ha ha, you couldn't do it. Ha ha, you're a loser. Of course, they don't understand why. Well, we prayed. We laid hands on your boy. We anointed him with oil. We commanded him in the name of Jesus. And he's going to revealed to him later on. This one comes out by prayer and fasting, by obedience and reverence. When you start obeying God, that death comes fearful. Get out of your family. You're going to get out of your house. You're going to get out of your marriage. Let me tell you something, Dad. You can't honor God if you're watching pornography. Somebody say amen. You can't honor God if you're a drunkard on Saturday night. You can't honor God if you're smoking marijuana tonight, getting ready for the eclipse. Somebody say amen up in here. You're not honoring God if you're living in adultery. You can't honor God if you're living in fornication. You can't honor God if your heart does not love Him with all of its being. Dad, you honor God. You reverence God. Not on mama's shoulders. It's on your shoulders, Dad. It's not on your boy's shoulders. You know, it's easy for us to say, that kid of mine, he let that death and spirit in his house. You let that death and spirit in your house, Dad. When you let that in your house, you did. Some of you are like, don't preach at me, Pastor. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you about things I've done in my life. How do I know this? Because I was a deaf, dumb dad. That means amen to that. You ain't going to fix it. You need the life of God. That comes when you humble yourself. You fall down before God and say, change me, make me, rearrange me, forgive me. Now use me. Not to be Billy Graham, but to be a daddy. Use me to be a husband. Use me to be a brother. Use me to be a sister. Use me to be a mama. Because I love my family. And I want to take my boy straight to Jesus. Amen. Ooh, that man comes to see Jesus. But Jesus isn't there. And finally, when Jesus does come down, I love this guy. He tells Jesus all about it. Oh, my son's had this since he was a child. What took you so long to come looking for Jesus? Oh, my son. You know what, guys? I'm going to share with you something new. About 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, I got a phone call in the office. The gentleman said, Pastor, how do I get my son from becoming a homosexual? You know what he wanted me to say? Here's a magic charm you can pray. Wrong. You know what I told him? You can teach him that it's wrong. He said, no, I haven't done that yet. Nobody can come here. Teaching them to love. Listen to what this man said. If you can do anything, you know what? Is there anything God can't do? The Bible tells us in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 17, our Lord God now has made the heavens and the earth, and nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. S.M. Lockridge, one of my favorite preachers. He told us about Jesus Christ, and he told us who Jesus is, and he told us what Jesus can do, and this is what he says. I want to quote him this morning. He says, the Bible says, my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. Are you hearing me this morning? He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him this morning? King David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-sea telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. Are you hearing me this morning? He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. What can he do? Oh, Jesus, if you can do anything, do you know him this morning? He's the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's only begotten Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's awesome. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Are you hearing me this morning? Oh, church, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessary of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know him this morning? He supplies strength for the weak. Are you hearing me? He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. Oh, church, he cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him this morning? Well, my King is the King. And he's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him this morning? His office is manifold. His promises are secure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. Oh, church, are you hearing me this morning? His love never changes. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you this morning. But he's indescribable, are you hearing me? He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. Are you hearing me? You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my King. That's my King. Oh, Jesus, if you can do anything, have mercy on us. Woo. Oh, man. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He can make a way where there is no way. Rises up and empties a grave. Somebody help me out. There ain't no sinner he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, this man comes and says, if you can do anything. Whew. Finally, church. Finally, let's take a look at Jesus. Jesus, oh, as much as we just described him, there is no more description worthy of him. There is nothing else we can place upon him. The only charge they could ever find him guilty of was being the King of the Jews. And I hope and pray one day the world will look at Jesus and say, he's the King of Joshua. And I hope they look at Joshua and say, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is your King. And it's my hope and prayer that one of these days, when he comes back, he'll say, well done, now good and faithful servant. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus doesn't just throw it out there. Boy, there ain't nothing I can't do. That's what a Baptist would say to me, see? You know what? We could just solve it all over right now over a glass of orange juice. No. Jesus throws that question right out there. If I can do anything, well, if you can just believe. Can I tell you something? I need you to listen to me. I need you to listen closely. You can Listen to what this father said. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. As he looked the holy word of God in his holy eyes. Those eyes that could see right through him. Those eyes that knew everything about him. Those eyes and very hands that knit him in his mother's womb. Lovingly put him together. That particular word of God who spoke and made light, who spoke and made the world appear, who spoke and made seas and dry land. That word of God looking at him in his face. He looked at him and says, help my unbelief. Jesus says, if you can, I just need you to believe. What's up with belief? You know what belief is? Belief is not saying a prayer. Don't get mad. Belief was not picking up a gospel tract in the city park and saying, man, I believe in God, but I'm good to go. Wrong. What is belief? Well, belief is coming to know him as Lord. Coming to know him as Savior. Coming to know him as personal. You know what I mean by that? Jesus Christ is the personal Savior. He is not, listen to me now, he's not a good luck charm. He's not magic beans. He's not a genie that you rub and get three wishes out of the lamp. No. He is a personal Savior, and he wants you to know him personally because he already knows you and everything about you. And he puts that statement right back on that dad. If you can just believe, if you can, then there's nothing that can't be done. I know here in the Baptist church, you don't like to talk about that. We like to put context in everything. Context is king. Somebody say amen. It is. We correctly interpret Philippians 4:13. A lot of churches understand, I can go out in the parking lot and look at the car right with my little pinky because I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Well, go right ahead and make yourself funny. We don't care. We'll laugh at you. You know, we understand the context now. Jesus says here, Pastor, God can't save me. If you believe, he can save you. Oh, Pastor, God can't fix my marriage. If you believe, he can fix your marriage. Oh, Pastor, God can't deliver me from alcohol. If you believe, he can deliver you from alcohol. He is still in the business of delivering people, and he is still saying to the Pharaoh with alcohol, let my people go. Oh, Pastor, he can't deliver me from drugs. Yes, he can. You can believe, then there's nothing impossible to you. Do you believe this morning? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're willing to come. You're willing to put it in your heart this morning. Say, Pastor, I need to believe. I need to call upon him. He needs to be my Lord. Did you believe God? A pastor say, Pastor, I am a Christian, but I'm not reverent. Well, you talked about that prayer and fasting thing. I thought maybe I just need to stop eating. Well, we probably all need to do that a little bit, maybe. Let me say, Pastor, you really need to do that. Yeah, keep judging yourself. No. Here's the deal. When become reverent with God, you start treating the holy. You're going to find God does a lot better than you. You're going to find out that God is going to cast him in. And you're going to be stepped back and know that he is God. You know that's what the scripture says? He still knows that I'm God. You know what it says? How do you do that? When you start reverent with him. You start worshiping him. Start loving him. I'm not talking about a slow song. I'm talking about in your life. This man came and said, he could do anything, have much love. Let me tell you, Jesus can do anything. There isn't a sinner he can't save. There isn't a sin he can't forgive. There isn't a person he can't deliver. There isn't a marriage he can't save. Are you hearing me this morning? Would you be willing to come? Because Jesus is in your heart. Perhaps you say, Pastor, he can't forgive me. Yes, he can't. Come on. Oh, Pastor, I'm looking for a church. Come on, be a part of what God is doing. And while I'm standing there, we're going to close that word of prayer. And then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. So don't go anywhere after invitation. If he's spoken to you this morning, or he's convicted you this morning, if you're willing to come, your heart that refuses to fully partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together. Our Father, God, we come to now in Jesus' name. Lord, how we thank you, Lord God, for this morning. And thank you for your word. And we ask right now that your word will move in our hearts and move in our lives. That if there be anyone who needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior, would you let now be the time? Let today be that day, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for each and every person you've already touched. And I pray, Father God, that they would have the courage to surrender to you, to treat you as holy, and to worship you in reverence you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing? In loving kindness, would you come this morning? Please rise. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come this morning? Come on. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Amen. Please be seated. As the choir comes down, I'll ask our deacons to come forward. We're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is what we do in remembrance of what we do. This is not going to transfigure into the body of Christ. This is a picture of what he did for us. And we will take it in remembrance of it. When you partake of the bread, remember his body broken for you. You partake of the juice, remember his blood poured out and shed for us on Calvary's cross. never forget what he did to us. Never forget what he did to save us. Never treat it as though it was home. Never treat it as though it were common. Instead, spend your life in gratitude of what Jesus, the Son of God, did so that you might have life in heaven with him. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup and the cup, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We partake, let us remember. Let us remember. Brother Tad, would you pick us in one of look at your word. You find that he's broken. His body was broken. Look at the bread and you'll find there's food in it. And I will remind you that he was pierced for our transgressions. Look at the brown stripes. And I will remind you that by his stripes we are healed. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for your son. Oh, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your body broken. Thank you that it heals us. Thank you, Lord, that it is the price for our salvation. Thank you that you are enough. Oh, I thank you. And I thank you, Jesus. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, He break it. He said, take and eat. He said, my body. He said, broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let the same man also, he took the cup and the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This duty is also to drink it in remembrance of me. Put them off and take it. It is the precious blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. You are not redeemed by gold or silver, precious stones and money. You are redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when it sucks, saying this is comfort, the new covenant and the new testament in my blood. This new you is offered you drink it. In remembrance of me. I hold you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you that on the cross you shed your blood for us. And that blood washed us white as snow. Thank you for paying the penalty of our sin. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for dying for us, for loving us. Thank you for redeeming us. And thank you, Lord, for making us your children in Jesus. Said, amen. Praise the Lord. If you're a gospel reader, and I know that you are, you're going to know that after Jesus left the upper room that Passover night, they concluded their Passover service, their Last Supper, with the singing of a hymn. Because of that, I found it appropriate to conclude every Lord's Supper service I've ever conducted with a singing of a hymn. I'm going to ask you to let this be our closing prayer. Let it be our closing song. Brother Mark, Brother Glenn, would you let us worship one more time as we sing our favorite song? For 30 years, I've been singing the song, Jesus Loves Me.